Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit QuickBooks Bill Pay. Growth is the goal, but the paperwork is a trap. If your accounts payable feels like a second job, you're doing it wrong. Enter QuickBooks Bill Pay. Reduce manual data entry, automate your approvals, and track 1099s in one place. No more chasing signatures. No more spreadsheet headaches. Just control over your cash flow and a back office that actually scales. Automate your accounts payable today at QuickBooks.com/BillPay. Terms apply. Money movement services are provided by Intuit Payments, Inc., licensed as a money transmitter by the New York State Department of Financial Services.
Hey, I'm Steph.
I'm Alex.
And this is Not Today.
And we're live.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I did not wake up in a good mood this morning.
Oh, well.
But I'm doing better now.
It happens, you know?
We had a little music. You did an impromptu performance for me, trying to get me to smile. So
you got to pull out all the stops, yeah. You know?
A little coffee. I'm doing better.
Good. And I think it's going to be a fun episode because we're talking about stunts today. So I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
I hope you enjoy it because...
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's any... movies that I've like seen or like, oh,
maybe. I honestly don't know.
Men in Black 2. Smith's double broke his nose.
Have you seen Men in Black 2?
I don't know. I'm just throwing out a movie.
Oh, okay. Well, no, Men in Black 2 is not mentioned.
I have seen Men in Black 2, so.
Okay. We're going to be talking about like Mission Impossibles and things like that.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be good. But before we jump in, I just want to remind you all that we have bonus episodes over on our Patreon. Patreon.com/NotTodayPodcast is where you can access all of them. We have like 37. We're going on 38 right now. So there's plenty of backlog over there if you are just chomping at the bit for more.
Jonesing for content.
Yeah, exactly. You also get your episodes early and ad-free over there, and you get to vote on the stories you want to hear. It's cool. We love it over there. Check it out.
I'll say it, and I'll keep saying it. What a deal. What a deal.
And I agree. But with that out of the way, why don't we jump right on in? That was like announcer voice.
I know.
Jump right on
in. Let's just roll right on in.
I'm feeling like stunts today, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
In a world.
Where... Yeah. Oh, that's the voice.
Yeah.
Who's the guy that does that? Is it the same guy? Or
is
it just multiple people doing the same thing?
I'm sure it's one guy who does like most of them.
Could you imagine? You're like, hey, I'm the in a world guy.
Yeah, that's cool voice. That's my job. That is a very cool voice.
What does your dad do?
Oh, he's the in a world guy?
Anyway.
All right, let's jump in. So, stunt professionals put their bodies and sometimes even their lives on the line daily to pull off the coolest action beats in blockbusters. There's no Oscars for it yet, which I didn't even realize. It didn't even cross my mind that stunt people don't have an Oscar. So they rarely get to walk the red carpet. But make no mistake, they're the lifeblood of many of our favorite movies. Like, if there's a stunt happening in a movie, even a small one, like, most of the time, it's a stunt double. And, like, we don't even know these people's names most of the time, unless you're, like, really into it. Isn't that crazy when you think about it?
Yeah, well, it sucks, because I'm sure you get paid way less, and then you're just, like, putting your body on the line.
Yeah, I hope they get paid, like, well, because, I mean, sometimes they are doing some shit that's, like, really dangerous.
Yeah.
So, anyway, first up on our list is one of the biggest and most impressive players in the game. And we definitely know this person's name. We're talking about Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan is renowned for his impressive stunt work, crafting some of the most incredible feats in the martial arts genre. On screen, he's known for his slapstick, acrobatic fighting style, comedic timing, and innovative stunts, which he typically performs himself. His film career has spanned more than 60 years, and he has appeared in over 150 domestic and international movies. Chan is regarded as one of the most iconic and influential martial artists in the history of cinema. He began his career at the age of 5 as a child actor, but his first big Hollywood film was in 1972 in a Bruce Lee film while he was working as a stunt double, because he had a pretty decent career. I mean, decent is not the right word. He had a great career in China in like martial arts movies and things like that, but that didn't really pick up in the U.S. So he had to then transition over to the U.S. market, which was kind of a push and pull for him. Chan has consistently pushed the boundaries of what is possible in action cinema. His stunts often involve complex choreography, precise timing, and an element of risk that keeps audiences on the edge of their seats. He's known for epic fight scenes leaping from multi-story buildings, including a 6-story building to catch a helicopter rope ladder. He famously slid down a skyscraper without wires or nets, which is considered by producers as the world's most dangerous stunt, at least at the time. He's rolled across the roof of a bus, dodged billboards, and parkoured off of buildings, and much more. But that's just a little taste of what he's done if you don't know his work, you know, very well. He's also crawled on beds of burning hot coals. He's jumped from a cliff and landed on a hot air balloon. Like, he's done some crazy things in the name of cinema.
This guy's a nut.
He is a nut.
But hey, it's all for the take.
But a skilled nut, you know?
Skilled.
A highly skilled nut.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, this is like adrenaline junkie.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. Whether he's leaping from buildings, sliding down poles, or engaging in high-speed chases, his commitment to authenticity and entertainment remains unmatched. The movie Police Story features wall-to-wall stunts and adrenaline-fueled action and includes one of his most famous stunts ever. One, because it's impressive and terrifying, but two, because it almost cost him his life. He really wanted this movie jam-packed with action because he felt like this was his big shot to break into the American market. So this was pretty high stakes for him. This was a crazy time for him because during the day he was filming Heart of the Dragon, and then at night he was working on Police Story. So he was working two jobs, daytime one movie, nighttime another movie.
Whoa, so like, is he sleeping?
I mean, not much. And he was doing like intense stunt work for both of these movies. He was directing and acting in one of them, and he was also acting in another one of them. So he was doing a lot. He was wearing a lot of hats.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.
America's social casino. Save big money on your interior stains and finishes now at Menards. Provide exceptional color to your staining project with Minwax Color Series. It applies evenly and dries fast with just one coat. Get a quart of Minwax Color Series wood stain in over 240 colors. On sale now through April 12th. Visit our paint desk and let our helpful team get you everything you need for your stain project today. Save big money at Menards.
So in the stunt in Police Story, Jackie Chan jumps off of a mall banister, which is like really high up in the air. It's like 7 stories up, and grabs onto a metal pole that's illuminated by many strings of lights. And he rides the pole down the 7 stories as quickly as possible as the strings of lights in his way break and explode. So think about like a fireman pole. He's sliding down a pole, but there's like a million strings of lights in the way. And he's also riding it down 7 stories.
7 stories.
Yeah.
Also, it's for flags.
Yeah. And he jumps on the pole from like a banister not super close to the pole.
Dude, I mean, this was in the 70s. I mean, I'm just thinking this has to be a time before waivers and shit, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't like, as...
How many things would he have to sign to do that today?
I mean, it was his... He planned it and chose to... Yeah, this is his work. So... At first, the pole he would be sliding down was just a metal pole, and after doing it a few times with just the metal pole and no lights, Jackie Chan decided he didn't like the way it looked on screen, and so he asked the crew to cover it in lights to make it look cooler. And sure, it would look cooler, but it would also make the stunt like 10 times more dangerous because now you're dealing with live electricity on top of it. So the stunt sequence was going to be filmed with 15 different cameras all at once, which was a record at the time, to have 15 cameras rolling on you with like that kind of film and like the really loud big cameras. So 15 of them. And each of them would only have magazines capable of holding like 400 feet of film, I think, or maybe it was less. It was like a very limited amount of film. So when they started the stunt, if it didn't go perfectly, it would have cost them tens of thousands of dollars and also possibly cost Jackie Chan his life. It was really high stakes.
Wait, the stunt or the cameras rolling?
So if they wasted 15 cameras worth of that amount of film, it would have cost them tens of thousands of dollars. And also, if it went wrong, it could have cost Jackie Chan his life because he also wasn't like falling onto like a padded surface. He was falling onto like a cart full of candy because they got the whole take from him jumping onto the pole, sliding down and hitting the ground. That is one take.
Damn. Well, just the way you said it made it seem like it was if the cameras ran out of film, he would also lose his life. You know?
Yeah, not quite. But
like we know about if he misses the pole, he's toast.
I just meant like if anything went wrong, a lot of bad things would come from that.
Yeah.
So before shooting it, the lighting guy told Jackie that the battery they were going to use for the lights around the pole wouldn't illuminate all of the lights, so they had to plug the lights into the electricity from the building. So it was a lot more power because you're plugging into the building instead of just like a single battery.
Okay, so now it's like whatever a wall outlet is. I think it's 120 volts or something. It's if you put your finger in it, it gives you a shock. I've done it.
You're getting shocked.
Yeah.
So yeah, they told him he might get shocked, but don't worry because they'll be watching him. And if anything happens, they'll shut the power off immediately. So if he starts to get shocked, it's going to be okay.
Hey, don't worry. If you get shocked midair, you'll fall to the ground. We'll be right here.
Could be. So Jackie was so high up and looked down to where he would be falling. And there was nothing in the way to break his fall. All he had, like I said, was a small prop cart that he would be landing on that was full of candy that would break his fall, apparently, right? But that was it. That was all he had. So as he stood there, feeling extremely nervous, one of the stunt coordinators came up to Jackie and told him they were ready, gave him a hug, and then he felt the guy drop something in his back pocket. And so Jackie like reached back into his pocket and pulled out this like tiny Buddha, and it was a good luck charm. So he didn't believe in that stuff, but considering what he was about to do, he just like tucked the little Buddha back into his back pocket.
Yeah. Can you imagine being on the set? It's like you're not going to stop this guy from trying.
Yeah.
That's all you could do is put a Buddha in his back pocket.
Right. So he also didn't have time to run or anything to like work himself up to jumping onto the pole. Like he was quite literally perched on like another tiny little banister pole, and then from there he had to leap onto the pole and then slide down it. He told the cameraman that when he nodded his head, he was ready for them to begin rolling. So he's perched on this handrail, and then he climbed down and then back up again and climbed down and back up again because he was trying to work himself up to this, but he was really scared. Like this was one where he was really nervous. He said in an interview about it, "I'm just a normal person, I'm not Superman." So he felt a drop of something on his face, and then he realized that there was a cameraman dangling above him whose sweat had fallen onto him because he's literally just dangling above him upside down, holding this camera, pointing at Jackie Chan, waiting for him to start the take. So finally, he climbs up on the banister once again, and he like tilted his head to like work himself up. You know when you like kind of crack your neck to like just like ready yourself a little bit? So that's what he was doing. He wasn't ready to say, let's roll, but he was just kind of like moving his head around. And so the director saw him doing that and thought, okay, that's the nod. And then immediately starts shouting, rolling. And Jackie is frozen for a second. He's like, oh shit, I just fucked up. Then he hears all 15 of the cameras power up, which is like really loud. And so the cameras could only record for so long, and because they had already started rolling, he had no more time to work up to it. He just had to do it.
I'm going to say this is probably the best way to do something like this.
Yeah, probably.
Because you don't want to, like, I don't know, work yourself up and then start thinking about something else.
Yeah.
You want to be thinking about nothing else.
Yeah, that's true. So he hears rolling, and so he has to do it. And so he's perched on this little pole, and then he just lets out a little scream and leapt onto the pole. So he's just like perched, and he goes, ah! And then he jumps on the pole. So he grabbed the pole and quickly slid down it. And as he's sliding down, the lights are exploding around him until finally he hit the ground and the take was complete.
Oh my God.
The sequence...
We need to watch this scene.
Yeah, I've seen it. I'm happy to show it to you. So the sequence is so impressive that they replay it in the movie 3 times from 3 different angles.
Oh yeah, you should. I mean, you paid fucking $30,000 for that take plus risked your life. If it goes well, it's going in the film multiple times.
When he landed, he was so pumped that he didn't die that he stood up and he just started screaming. Like, he just started freaking out. And he looked down at his hands and saw that the skin on his palms was peeled off.
Oh, yeah.
So they finished filming there at 6. And so Jackie and some crew got a celebratory beer, but he wasn't done for the night because after that, he had to be rushed to the set of Heart of the Dragon, which was the other film that he was working on at the same time as Police Story. So on the drive over to the Heart of the Dragon, he took a nap in the car since he was so exhausted by the work that he had already done that day. But thankfully, he knew that they got the shot they needed for the climax of the fight sequence, so he was happy. He's like, I have earned this nap. It's great.
Yeah.
When he woke up from this nap, he arrived on set and reached out to open the car door, but he realized that he couldn't do it. His hand was trembling as he had it outstretched to, like, get to the door handle. And before that moment, his body had been running on pure adrenaline, so he didn't know just how badly he had been hurt from this stunt. Because he couldn't even open the door, he was obviously rushed to the hospital and started being examined by the medical staff there. And it was discovered that Chan had second-degree burns on his palms from the lights on the pole being plugged directly into the building's electrical supply and exploding on him. And also, he had broken the 7th and 8th spinal vertebrae. He had a dislocated pelvis and severe bruising all over his entire body. He had a dislocated pelvis.
Oh my God. And then he took a nap?
Yeah.
Wow.
He didn't feel any of that until he woke up from his nap. Think about how much adrenaline you have to have pumping through your body to not feel a dislocated pelvis and broken 7th and 8th vertebrae and broken. Second degree burns.
He broke his back.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So despite walking away from this stunt, the effects followed him for years. He needed surgery, extensive physical therapy, and lots of recuperation time to heal from just that one stunt. And what sucked is that he had executed it perfectly. Nothing went wrong. It was just a bad idea to jump onto a pole and then ride it 7 stories down through highly electrified lights.
Yeah. I was about to say, like, not this is a great scene, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't worth it.
I mean, it's an iconic stunt, so.
I know, but. God.
No, it's definitely
you
like...
You broke your back and dislocated your pelvis and, dude, it wasn't worth it. I'm sorry. You could have done this in other ways.
Well, he's an icon. He's a legend. You can't turn back the clock,
I guess,
but...
You know, would we be talking about it if he had done something else? I don't know.
Right, exactly. So, Police Story did end up being a blockbuster in both Asia and Europe and grossed close to $19 million, which is like $47 million in today's money. And it's considered to be the film that broke Jackie Chan into the American market. So it was beneficial for him.
Well,
you know?
You're making a great argument for this being worth it.
Yeah. So in Police Story 2, he had another incident where he was supposed to jump off of the roof of a moving bus through a glass window. And he jumped through the wrong window and smashed through a real glass window.
Oh, no.
Yeah, on top of a bus that's driving, by the way. So he's on a driving bus, and then he jumps through a glass window, and it was a real one. He went through the wrong one.
Ooh.
Yeah. He's also done multiple stunts where he's either thrown off of something or leaps off of something and falls stories to the ground with no padding to break his fall. Like, they show him falling and hitting the ground in one shot. Like, he is known
Ooh.
For just hitting the ground. It is crazy.
God.
One of his most famous and dangerous examples of that was during the movie Project A, where he's basically dangling from a clock on a clock tower, and he lets go of this clock, falling three stories through two canopies, and then he hits the ground without any harness or mat, nothing. And he did that stunt three times because he didn't like the first two takes, and he literally almost broke his neck and died. And the take that they have in the movie is, I mean, they show it twice in the movie, but the first take that they have in the movie, he falls on his neck. You watch, it's like the most uncomfortable thing. He falls three stories and hits his neck on the ground.
Oh, I do not like that at all.
No, it's awful.
I do not like that.
Yeah. It was really uncomfortable to watch. So just if you're going to watch it, proceed with caution because you literally, like, it looks like he should have died. Like, he broke his neck, it looks like.
Ugh.
I think he did actually break his neck. Like, he had to then be rushed to the hospital after that one take.
Oh.
And his worst injury of his career was during filming The Armor of God. He jumped from a wall into a tree and one of the branches broke. So he fell to the rocks below the tree, like just bunch of rocks. And the fall resulted in a fractured skull, and he had to be rushed to the hospital for brain surgery. Like, he had brain trauma from falling and cracking his head on rocks. He's also broken numerous parts of his body, and here's a list of a few of his many injuries that he sustained during his stunts. He's damaged his cervical spine and multiple other parts of his spine. He's broken multiple fingers and toes, both cheekbones, his hips, his sternum, his neck, his ankle, and ribs. He's dislocated his shoulder, dislocated his pelvis, and he's fractured his skull and got a brain bleed. And that's just, like, a couple. Like,
that's a
I mean, it's most of them, but, like, that's insane when you think about it.
I feel like a little baby over here with the things. I think I've like sprained my ankle, been concussed, and then the shoulder.
Yeah.
But Jesus, man. Yeah. It's just something you never think about because you think somebody with this injury list would be playing some type of like high contact sport.
Stunt work is a high contact sport.
I know,
but
I just don't. I don't think about it that way.
Sure.
Like off the bat.
Yeah, I guess.
Know? You're like, but... oh, it's a movie.
Yeah, right. When you think of like fight scenes or, you know, high intensity action scenes, like your mind kind of goes to, oh, that's like fake. It's CGI. But right. For so many movies, it's not like maybe like nowadays for most things, it's like, yeah, a lot of that stuff is CGI. But even like we're going to talk about Tom Cruise next. He doesn't do CGI. Like,
no,
that shit is real and it is insane and so dangerous.
Yeah, that was the other name I was going to bring up. But I guess like when I look at a movie, I'm like, oh, they took safety precautions to make this, you know, not dangerous.
And they do. But that doesn't stop the fact that like things go wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And even with the safety measures in place, there's so much room for error. And like, it's still dangerous to do it even with safety measures in place. I don't know. It's like, and it's up to the actor, like Jackie Chan, when he says, hey, I'm going to fall off of this building and it's going to be a great shot. And he's like the guy in charge. Like, that's what's going to happen. You know?
That's true.
Yeah. There's so many of these stunts that are so impressive and so insane and has caused so much injury. And it's real. And it's hard to watch.
I'm
sometimes.
Like squirming. Just thinking about the word cervical spine.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. I mean, just broken skull and brain bleed is crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, many of his stunt attempts gone wrong are shown as outtakes or bloopers during the closing credits of his films. So he kind of like finds it funny a lot of the time and he'll put it in like the blooper reel, which is kind of iconic as well. But he holds the Guinness World Record for most stunts done by a living actor. Isn't that cool?
Wow. How old is he now?
I think he's in his 60s. And his career is like almost as old as him because he started when he was 5.
Right. Yeah. It's a long career. I just wonder how he's doing now that he's like 60.
He's cool.
Like, is he like into yoga or something? Like, how does he stay not in pain all the time?
He still does movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just watched an interview of him talking about like the book that he released about his life. And before that, he had just done a movie. And he talked about during the interview how like during the filming of the most recent movie he made or like one of the most recent movies he's made, he was on like a jet ski and the jet ski flipped and he got stuck underneath the jet ski and he almost drowned. So like he's still doing that shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess if this is what you do and you love it, you're going to do it till you croak.
Yeah.
Or till you can't anymore.
Right. Yeah. He's still in great shape. So love it. He's awesome. He's an icon. He's a legend. And we know that. So
shout out to Mr. Chan.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, take a couple steps, precautions, you know. Would love if you didn't break your neck again.
That'd be tight. But also, he's an expert in his field, so
yeah,
you know, he's doing great. Anyway, on to the next.
I just can't imagine him ever listening to this.
No,
you know?
Wait. Yeah, Jackie Chan is listening. Hey. On to the next, which is another icon in the field of stunts, and that is Tom Cruise.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Dream big and save big on your next backyard project at Menards. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a beautiful border for your landscape with our Crescent Edgers on sale now through April 12th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
When I think of stunts, the two people that come to mind are Jackie Chan and Tom Cruise because they're insane in the field. But so here's a list of a few of his stunts for anyone who's unfamiliar with Tom Cruise's work. He's done so many insane fight scenes. He's scaled the Burj Khalifa, which is the world's tallest building in Dubai. He's performed a free climbing sequence without any safety nets. He's held his breath underwater for 6 minutes to film a heist sequence. He flew a real F-A-18 Super Hornet, which is like a fighter jet, I believe, and he performed aerial maneuvers while flying it. He's ridden motorcycles through the narrow streets of Paris, weaving through traffic and performing dangerous maneuvers. He's also jumped through glass windows and off of things and on moving buses and things like that, too. Like, he's the same level of, like, holy shit stunt work as Jackie Chan. With the amount of terrifying stunts that Tom Cruise has done, it's honestly incredible that he hasn't had more injury. Of the injuries he has gotten, many of them have been while filming the Mission Impossible series. He's gotten broken ankles, a torn shoulder, broken ribs, among other things. He dangled off the side of a plane as it took off, like holding on to the side of a plane with just like a small wire attached to him. And during that, he's wearing like special contacts to make sure that nothing blinded him as the plane was taking off. So the plane took off and flew to 5,000 feet before coming back down and landing again, all while he's literally gripping to the side of the plane. And he could have been...
Whoa, what a ride.
Yeah, he could have been blinded because at one point he worried that a pebble had ripped through his skin, but it had actually just like ricocheted off of him and he was fine. But that was a scary moment for him.
Yeah, but who cares? Hold on. Yeah. You know, 5,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just trying to think about how high that is. I'm like looking outside.
That's high. That's high.
I mean, how tall is the Burj Khalifa?
2,717 feet to the tip.
Two Burj Khalifas?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Uh-huh. In Mission Impossible Fallout, Cruise can be seen piloting and dangling from a helicopter as it's flying and jumping across rooftops. And during a stunt where he jumped from one building to another, Cruise didn't make the jump completely and landed like on his chest on the edge of this building. And you would think that based on how hard he hit the side of the building that he would have broken like a rib or something like that. But actually he broke his ankle when his foot hit the wall and twisted in a way that no foot should twist.
Oh.
And I've seen the close-up, and it's pretty gnarly.
Like, yeah. That's crazy, though, that the ankle broke.
I know, yeah. But after hitting the wall, he knew immediately that his ankle was broken, but he really didn't want to have to film that sequence again. So he managed to pull himself up onto the roof of the building and then run off of the camera, you know, like run away from the scene. And that was on his broken ankle because he wanted the take to be usable. And they actually used that take in the movie.
I mean, fair enough. Once you break your ankle, you're done for the day.
Yeah, you can see him like pull himself up onto the roof and then he like hobbles off of the screen. And that's him running on a broken ankle.
Oh my like, God.
Yeah.
I mean, I've sprained my ankle and not broken it. I cannot imagine how painful that is.
Yeah, you can see it in his face. He's like, ugh.
Yeah, dude.
Not good. So after running off camera, he told the crew that that was a wrap for the day because he needed to go to the emergency room. His ankle was for sure broken. And he was right. And then filming had to be halted for 7 weeks as he recovered, which cost them like tens of thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, you have to do it. But
it's the name of the game.
Yeah. But there's more, obviously. So during The Last Samurai, one of the characters swings a sword at Tom Cruise, and Tom Cruise's mechanical horse malfunctioned, meaning that it wouldn't fall down at the right time. And thankfully, this actor was able to stop swinging the sword just in time, but the sword got half an inch before it would have reached Tom Cruise's neck and like decapitated him.
They used a real sword?
I guess. Like,
what are you guys doing?
Because when I was looking at the list of his stunts and things to talk about, it was like, oh yeah, he was almost decapitated.
Are we playing this up? Is it a dull sword? You're really using a sharpened sword
probably in a movie?
You nut?
Well, it might have been for like a close-up, you know? They want like the sharp
edge. How can you tell?
I don't know. Listen, I'm just delivering you the facts.
I don't know why I'm taking this stand, but like, I don't know. The idea that you're going to use a fully sharpened sword in a scene that you're swinging it at somebody's neck seems psychotic to me.
It does seem psychotic. But anyway, his mechanical horse broke and he almost got decapitated is my point. But anyway, possibly his most dangerous stunt and one of the biggest stunts in all of cinematic history was performed while filming Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. He drove a motorcycle up a large ramp off the side of a massive cliff, which then turned into a base jump, and he had to parachute down once he let go of the motorcycle.
That's so sick.
Yeah.
Can I do that?
Sure, go ahead. Yeah, this stunt was years in the making. He had to coordinate with experts in all of these different specialties to make this one stunt happen in the film. He had a year of base jump training, advanced skydiving training, canopy skills, tracking, stability, and free fall. And he got to the point where he was doing 30 jumps a day, like 30 skydives a day. He then had to train in motocross jumps and had over 13,000 motocross jumps as like part of his training as well.
13,000?
Yes. He was a machine because he had to get to the point where like he couldn't even make any errors.
Well, he had to become an expert in each one.
Yes. Yeah.
That's insane. I mean, this is dedication.
That's like the kind of shit Tom Cruise does. Like he's a legend for a reason. So while all of that was happening, they had to figure out the logistics of where to put the camera to get the actual shot because, you know, they need to film it. And so they had to give him
a GoPro.
Yeah. So basically the camera was like attached to his motorcycle. And then I think they had a drone camera as well, which wasn't even like invented 2 years before the stunt was filmed.
Wow. Wonder what they would have done instead.
I have no idea. Yeah. They had to build ramps at different angles to then simulate the jump with cables. And they had to calculate his trajectory because once he drove that motorcycle off of the real cliff, that was it. And they could not mess it up. So when the day came, everyone was so nervous about it, even with how much preparation had gone into this stunt, there was still the very real possibility that Tom Cruise could die that day. There were so many factors. Riding a motorcycle alone is a dangerous task, but then do it on a thin ramp that's elevated extremely high up, and then when he comes off the ramp, he had to make sure that he had a clean exit from the bike, because if he got tangled in it at all, that could make his parachute malfunction, and then he could plummet to his death.
Wait, does he pull the parachute after the motorcycle is, like, flung?
Yeah, so he literally rides the motorcycle off of the ramp, and then he's in midair. He drops the motorcycle, lets it fall, and then he has to deploy his parachute and base jump down to the bottom of the cliff.
Okay. I don't know. You made it seem like he was deploying his parachute while
on the motorcycle.
On the motorcycle.
No, he lets go of the motorcycle.
Yeah.
But that was still like there was a lot of logistics. They had to like tape down his shoelaces because if a shoelace got stuck on the motorcycle, then he wouldn't be able to deploy his parachute. Like there was a lot of things. Anyway,
not to mention the motorcycle, you know, rip.
Oh yeah, they got rid of a bunch of motorcycles because they were all destroyed, of course. Anyway, Tom Cruise felt ready and the director called 3-2-1 action and he did it. He just rode the motorcycle off the ramp and did it. And when they saw his parachute open for the first time, everyone was so relieved. He then went on to do this 8 more times. 8 more times in one day.
Can we be honest? If he's base jumping 30 times a day.
Yeah, it's no big deal.
This has become normal.
That's like a light day for him.
Right. I'm like, well, if you're going to spend all that time learning how to do motorcycle jumps and base jumping, mm-hmm. you're going to want to do more than one take.
Oh, yeah. He wants to get the shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he did it 8 times and all 8 wow. times he executed it perfectly.
That's awesome. Sounds like he really only needed one.
Yeah, well, they got different angles. They got the shot. They got different options. It's cool.
Wait, so did they have to get the same motorcycle?
No, they had eight different motorcycles. Yeah.
Damn.
Because they flew it off a cliff. So, like, they didn't survive the fall.
Well, I know, but, like, they had to look the same?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same motorcycle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's what you meant. Sure. Yes. But, yeah, he didn't get hurt filming that stunt, but I felt like it had to be mentioned because it's maybe the most dangerous stunt ever performed. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, that is where I'm going to leave it for Tom Cruise. Yeah, kind of cool.
Right. I mean, I'm sure there's others for him and Jackie Chan, but
there's definitely more for sure.
That one is nuts. I can't imagine how much adrenaline you have to feel as you're like backflipping. You know, you take a motorcycle, fling it off, and then you just.
Yeah. But that's Tom Cruise. He's a legend for a reason.
What a life.
Yeah. All right, on to the next. We're going to be talking about Back to the Future Part 3, a stunt that nearly killed Michael J. Fox. Marty McFly's nemesis in the first two Back to the Future films is Biff Tannen, played by Thomas F. Wilson. What? Biff?
Biff. Yeah, just funny. The name Biff.
Yeah, he's the dim-witted bully twice Marty's size. In Back to the Future, Marty has to fight him off while at the same time trying to get his eventual parents back together so that he can be born is like, you know, the premise of the film. But so in Back to the Future Part 2, Marty has to deal with the future Biff who gets rich after his younger self steals Marty's sports almanac and makes himself a millionaire. And then in Back to the Future Part 3, it takes place in 1885, so they couldn't have Biff in the past. So instead, the villain is now Biff's great-grandfather, a man named Buford Tannen, who's also played by the same actor. So Marty had to go back in time to rescue Doc Brown, who has been accidentally sent back to 1885, but when he gets there, he comes across Buford Tannen and his gang, who then drags Marty by their horses, like with a rope around his neck, through the street, arriving at the courthouse that is still in the process of being built. And in an attempt to kill McFly, Tannen orders him to be hung by his neck, so they string Marty McFly up with a rope around his neck and dangle him from the courthouse. And Marty, in the film, looks done for. He's grasping at the noose around his neck, he's gasping for breath, when his savior appears in the form of Doc Brown, who uses the scope of his rifle to shoot the rope and free Marty from certain death. But things went wrong during filming, and Michael J. Fox was literally almost hanged for real. In the wide shots of Marty McFly hanging from the gallows, it's not Michael J. Fox, it's a stunt double. Because it was far enough away that you couldn't see his face, and with the danger involved, they figured a stuntman should be used. But when it came to the close-up shots, Michael J. Fox had to be involved. So to be safe, the crew had him standing on a box, and the scene was shot from the waist up because they didn't need to see his feet dangling in the close-ups. And the plan was for him to just wiggle his feet around on the box to make it look like he was swinging from the rope. But unfortunately, that plan didn't work because it didn't look realistic on screen.
So, oh, I was thinking, also, if he's wiggling his feet around, he could also just kick the box.
That's true. But no, it didn't look right. So Michael J. Fox decided they could lift him up and show him dangling and then also get the close-up shot. He would just have to catch the rope in his hands before it tightened too much on his neck, and then he could hold himself up with his hands on the rope instead of being held up by his neck. So during rehearsals, Michael J. Fox practiced sticking his hands between the rope and his neck so that he didn't become asphyxiated during the stunt. As long as his hands got between the rope and gave him enough space to breathe, he'd be fine. And when I think about this stunt, as a person who has a background in like stage combat and things like that, like, which is basically like doing things like stunts where you're basically like simulating dangerous things for, you know, theater or film or whatever, but you're doing it in a way that's safe. This does not seem very safe to me. Because, like, if he doesn't catch the rope in time, it's literally going to choke him, which is right. Not good.
Yeah, I was going to say, we might want to have a plan B.
Yeah, I feel like there should have...
cut it off.
Right, I feel like there should have been a rope, like, tied around his body or something that was actually holding up his weight, and the rope around his neck was not nearly as tight as, you know, it would have actually been. But, yeah. Hey, that's just me. I don't know.
Did you direct...
yeah.
A three-part series, Back to the Future?
I guess not. This stunt was kind of dangerous, but it was given the green light.
Yeah, it was like a Marty Doobie McFlyin right now.
Very nice.
Hey.
Very good.
Folks.
Hey. So for the first few takes, it worked well enough, but on the third take, Fox miscalculated the positioning of his hands and he missed the spot his hand should have been in the rope. So it wrapped tightly around his neck and he was literally dangling from the gallows on the courthouse. Yeah,
and they used the shot.
And during that take, his carotid artery was blocked and it caused him to pass out.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So thankfully, Michael J. Fox didn't die, even though he had literally been hung for real, because the director realized in time that this wasn't just incredible acting that he was doing. So...
oh my God.
Yeah. So Michael J. Fox said, quote, "I swung unconscious at the end of the rope for several seconds before Bob Zemeckis, fan of mine though he was, realized even I wasn't that good of an actor. The film crew was then able to cut him down from the gallows and revive Michael J. Fox. But if they had waited any longer, even if he hadn't actually died from the stunt, he could have suffered serious brain injury, because if he doesn't have oxygen going to his brain..."
Oh, yeah.
He could have gotten some real damage. Thankfully, that wasn't the case. But less than a year later, there would be a moment where he wondered if he had been traumatically hurt that day. Almost a full year later, he was filming another movie in Florida when he woke up to find his pinky twitching really intensely. And the neurosurgeon that Fox consulted on the matter suspected that the twitching finger had something to do with the stunt that had gone wrong nearly 10 months prior. And he continued to consult with doctors, and the twitching finger symptom expanded to include weakness in his left hand, achy muscles in his chest, stiffness in his shoulder. And Michael J. Fox believed these symptoms were related to the stunt, but then he would later learn that it was actually caused by Parkinson's that he would soon be diagnosed with. But for a moment, he was like, oh shit. Like,
oh yeah.
That's yeah.
Very easy to make that connection.
Yeah. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's in 1991 at the age of 29. Really young.
Yeah, he's 63.
Mm-hmm.
Still going.
And while genetic and environmental factors can contribute to the development of Parkinson's, there's no concrete evidence that the specific stunt caused his condition. So it was just he believed that it could have been, but there's actually no...
Yeah, there's no proof for it, but yeah. It's also tough to disprove.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, it's just one of those things. You'll never know.
He said he believes he may have been exposed to some kind of chemical, or that he could have hit his head or drank too much at a certain developmental period. So he thinks it's maybe environmental or lifestyle factors. But yeah, anyway, there was a stunt that almost took his life. And that is the point. But
wow. Yeah, I think I'm trying to remember. I don't remember that scene.
Have you seen part three? I haven't.
I think I've seen all three of them because we had the stuff on VHS.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, next time you watch it, if you ever watch it again, you'll have that fun little bit of information.
Yeah.
Fun, maybe not the right word.
Well,
But a little tidbit of information.
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join, shop your favorite brands, and save. Target, Instacart, Expedia, Macy's, Sephora, CVS. The list is long. Save online, in-store, and at over 22,000 restaurants. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose PayPal, check, Bilt points, or cash out with gift cards. Eligible American Express card members can choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. Terms and conditions apply. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, order dessert. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
So the next movie we're going to be talking about is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
I have not seen it.
I haven't either. The actor was Eli Wallach. And behind the scenes, Wallach had to endure several dangerous encounters, which saw him teeter on the edge of life and death. It began when Eli Wallach accidentally drank acid. Unbeknownst to him, a crew member had poured some acid into a soda bottle and carelessly left it near his drink. And after consuming the acid, the actor was rushed to a nearby hospital where doctors were able to pump the poison out of his stomach and prevent death.
Yeah, I'm like, what do they... So they pump it, but I just wonder if they pump a base in there to neutralize it or something. You're just like pumping soap down there.
Yeah,
you know?
I have no idea. But that's a crazy thing that happened. Another incident occurred with a horse. He was sat on a horse with his hands tied behind his back. And during the shoot, a gunshot spooked the horse that he was sat on, and it took off running, dragging the actor with it for almost a mile before members of the production were able to stop the horse. So he was
a mile?
He was dragged by a horse, yeah.
By, like, what, his foot or his arm?
I think his hands.
Oh,
yeah.
God, it boom, boom, boom. Like yeah. The whole way, a whole mile.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how long that is. It's like...
Long.
How fast do horses be running? At least 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was a long, long time. However, that wasn't even the most dangerous incident that this poor actor was subjected to. The truly death-defying moment came during a scene where his character had to use a passing train to break the chain of the handcuffs binding him after escaping a POW camp. The train, however, was fitted with low steel steps that were overlooked during the scene's planning stages. So he was actually going to use a real train to break the chains on his handcuffs. Yeah.
So this gives me, I want to like crawl inside myself. You have to sit there and watch the train go over you as it breaks. You even try to break the handcuffs.
He was like next to the train and he had to like put the chain on the track. So the scene has Tuco showcasing his ingenuity as he escapes from his Union Army captors and he's chained to a soldier that he has just killed and he awaits the train's arrival to sever the binding chain. There was no stunt double, and it was a real train. He literally just had to keep his head down and not move, but the director told him to turn his face toward the camera to, like, get the shot of him being scared.
Oh, dude.
Oblivious to the fact that these, like, low steps that were on the train were basically akin to a guillotine, and they were hurtling toward the actor's head.
Wait, so we didn't...
They didn't take the steps into account while they were planning.
We didn't, like, put a melon down there?
No, because they were getting a close-up of him.
No, to try it out.
Oh, yeah, no, they, I don't think...
You didn't do a test run?
No, they didn't even realize the steps were on the train. They didn't know. So if he had moved even an inch, he would have been decapitated by the low steps.
What is these low steps? I don't understand.
So, like, it's like the steps that you would take to go up into the train.
Oh,
but they were on the outside of the train, you know, to like get up into the train. And so his head was just below where the steps were on the train. So if he moved his head even a little bit, he would have been decapitated or like had a broken skull or brain injury
something
or something.
That's not good. Yeah. I mean, have you heard those commercials where they're like, stop, trains won't.
Yes.
This is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. No, that's, but Yeah, don't move or you'll get decapitated by the train.
Oh my God.
So he recalled this harrowing experience in his autobiography, describing his protestations to the director about the danger that these train steps posed. He said, quote, "Leone said that the cameraman couldn't see my face because I was too far down in the hole and they wanted to film another take."
Yeah, no, how about fuck off?
Yeah, so he said, "Did you see that goddamn step on the train? Do you want me to finish the movie without a head?" And then the director stopped and stared as the train disappeared in the distance and said, "All right, we'll use the first take." So yeah, basically, they didn't take the steps into account. They saw how close this actor got to death. And then he still was like, "We want another take." And the actor was like, "Fuck you." Yeah. Like, no chance I'm getting another take. So they didn't use another take. But anyway, that's
wild.
Crazy.
It's just something to think about, because the first thought is, oh, we need a better take, not you almost got decapitated, you mm-hmm. know, but maybe that's what you need for a good movie.
But that's a crazy thing to
right
to do. Like,
yeah,
I feel like that's not a good director to like, put the safety of your actor at risk for another take. Like, I don't think so.
I know. But like, what I'm talking about is just the focus and the exclusion of everything else, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's that one. So now we're on to the movie Now You See Me, which was made in 2013. Isla Fisher nearly died while filming a scene for the movie Now You See Me. She is playing an escape artist kind of magician. And in the scene, she announces to a big crowd that her hands and ankles will be chained, and then she'll be dropped into a large tank of water. And once she's dropped, a timer will start. And if she doesn't escape her chains once the timer runs out, a tank of flesh-eating piranhas will open up and the fish will be dropped into the tank with her, basically eating her alive. The scene was shot over 3.5 days, and the chains around her wrists were magnetic, you know, for safety reasons, but the chain that went between her ankles and her wrists malfunctioned on one of the takes, and she wasn't able to break the chain, and it got stuck underneath a slat at the bottom of the tank. So Isla was trapped underwater. They had a bunch of safety measures in place, like they had a quick release button that would empty the tank completely in 70 seconds, but what they didn't have was a safety word or gesture to signal to someone that something had gone wrong. And the gag of the trick in the scene is that Isla pretends that everything has gone wrong and she can't get the chains off, and she's freaking out and screaming and banging on the glass of the tank for someone to stop the clock before the piranhas are released. So she's panicking in the scene. Like, this is...
Oh my God, very what a much, nightmare.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, wow, Isla's into it today, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So when her chains wouldn't release, she started genuinely freaking out, but the directors and crew didn't know that anything was wrong because to them, she was just acting her face off. She struggled under the water for nearly 3 minutes before a stunt performer on set realized that something was wrong and pulled the safety switch and the tank was drained.
3 minutes?
3 minutes.
How is she holding her breath for that long?
She was about to not be holding her breath anymore. Like, she was on the edge.
Yeah, how long can you hold your breath for?
Well, an average person can hold their breath underwater for 30 to 90 seconds before feeling the urge to take a breath.
Wow. Okay. Well, you had that ready.
I did.
I want folks to know that we didn't just Google that. She preempted my question.
I knew what you were going to ask me, and so I wrote it down.
Wow. That's good.
Mm-hmm. That can be extended, like the length a person can hold their breath by like training and other factors. But Isla wasn't just like quietly holding her breath. She was flailing around and screaming for help underwater, so she probably had a shorter amount of time under the water than normal.
Also, 70 seconds is, like, not quick.
No. Yeah. And fun fact, the current world record for holding someone's breath underwater is 24 minutes and 37 seconds, which was set by a Croatian free diver. Isn't that kind of cool?
That's insane. 24 minutes.
And 37 seconds. Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think about how long you're just, like, sitting there and watching. The guy from Guinness is just, like... Seriously?
Yeah, is this guy dead?
It's like, you broke it 5 minutes ago. We can be done.
Right. Yeah, so that one is a really scary one.
Yeah, it's also crazy that they thought of safety precautions. They just didn't think about
a signal,
a safe word or a signal. Oh, that would have been so tragic.
It would have been terrifying. Could you imagine being stuck in a tank of water and just oh my god,
I don't want to think about that.
No, I know, but also she said in an interview about it, she was like, I was just thinking about the fact that like I was gonna be dead in this stupid costume and how embarrassing that would be.
That is funny.
That's because she's doing
that's
like
all she's thinking about.
She's doing some like magic performance, so she's wearing this like tiny frilly outfit, and you know, anyway, she was like, yeah, yeah. I just thought about me being dead on a table in this stupid costume.
God, that sucks. I think I've seen this movie.
I really like, want to see it. I haven't seen it, and now I want to.
Yeah, I think I've seen the scene, but yeah, oh my god, well now it's gonna be a whole new meaning.
Yeah, I just, when I was watching the scene from the movie, it's like genuinely anxiety inducing to even watch the scene because it looks like she's gonna die in this tank of water.
Because she almost did.
Right, no, but then thinking about that like actual moment being real is terrifying. Like, I wonder if they used any of the actual like take of her genuinely freaking out, because
well,
it would have been good movie, good for the movie, I guess, because she's supposed to be showing genuine fear. But yeah, there are so many stunts that have like gone wrong that have ended up in a movie because it just looked really cool. Like, it wasn't supposed to happen, but it looked cooler for the shot.
It's like,
so,
well, once it happened.
Right. We're not going to delete the footage. Yeah. Like,
it's like, well, you went through it. It might as well go up.
Yeah, exactly. Make it for something, I guess. But that's what I've got for this stuntman episode and stunts gone wrong.
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting one, or an interesting theme, because I guess I don't think about it that often. You know, like in a scene, you'll see something crazy happen. You'll be like, oh, that's a stunt double. But then you just move on.
Yeah.
You know, you just keep watching.
Or like when I'm watching something that's like terrifying, or like if it happened in real life, I'd be like, oh my God, that's so dangerous. But I just kind of chalk it up to movie magic. And I'm like, oh, like they just made it look really cool. Like that's a really cool stunt. But I wouldn't even think about the fact that like how many things have gone wrong just to get that one shot.
Yeah, so, and I definitely wouldn't think about, oh, Tom Cruise has done 13,000 motorcycle jumps for this one scene.
Yeah, for that one take.
Maybe 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
10 seconds of cinema.
Yeah, I kind of want to watch the Mission Impossible movies now because of how many like stunts.
You haven't seen any of them?
I've maybe seen one, but not in like any recent memory could I say what any of them are even like about, you know?
Yeah, I've seen a few of them.
There's like 80 million of them. There's like how many Mission Impossible movies?
I have no idea.
There's so many of them, and they keep making them.
Right. I feel like I've seen two or three.
Okay. Yeah, I want to watch at least a couple because they look so cool. Just based on like the few scenes that I've now seen, I'm like, ooh, yeah, let's watch that.
Yeah, we got to watch the one with the base jump.
Yeah. Love some stunts, and if you guys enjoyed this, then maybe we can do another one of these in the future because there are plenty more stunts to talk about. But anyway, that's all I really have to say about that. What is your good thing?
My good thing is that it's my birthday.
Hell
this
yeah.
This week, we're doing a little pasta making party and drinking wine. So I'm very excited, and I'm 28.
Come on, 28.
Come
yeah,
on.
That is my good thing as well. We are having a couple of friends over and we're making pasta from scratch and we're going to do like wine tasting, and our friends don't know it yet, but we have purchased fake mustaches and paper chef hats for everyone to wear for the duration of the party.
Ridiculous.
And I just think it's going to be a ridiculous time. I've made an Italian cooking music playlist that we'll be playing. It's going to be fun. I'm just looking forward to it. So it's good to be silly, you know? It's good to have those silly moments and silly days. So,
amen.
Anyways, thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. If you would like to get access to a bunch of bonus episodes, head over to patreon.com/nottodaypodcast. We post pictures of all the stories we talk about over on Instagram at nottoday_podcast. You can also find the link to our merch shop in the bio of our Instagram. That is nottodaypodcast.dashery.com. If you or anyone you know has a story of survival or something crazy that's happened to you and you'd like to share it with us and possibly hear it on an upcoming listener's episode, send it to notodaypodcast@gmail.com. We have a TikTok that is nottodaypodcast and a Twitter that is nottodaypodcast with a T and then a podcast is like 3.
Because that makes sense.
And just keep breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's Deck Days at Lowe's, and the savings are stacked. Right now, pros get 15% off all in-stock composite decking from top brands like Trex, TimberTech, and Deckorators. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt tool. The deck's stacked in your favor with brands pros trust. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 4/22 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit QuickBooks Bill Pay. Growth is the goal, but the paperwork is a trap. If your accounts payable feels like a second job, you're doing it wrong. Enter QuickBooks Bill Pay. Reduce manual data entry, automate your approvals, and track 1099s in one place. No more chasing signatures. No more spreadsheet headaches. Just control over your cash flow and a back office that actually scales. Automate your accounts payable today at QuickBooks.com/BillPay. Terms apply. Money movement services are provided by Intuit Payments, Inc., licensed as a money transmitter by the New York State Department of Financial Services.